Did you know that in only a few years, the poor Arabs of the desert managed to defeat one of the greatest empires in history? You see, at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, the two major superpowers in the region were the Roman Byzantines and the Persian Sasanians, two military titans that had been locked in a series of wars for nearly 700 years, each unable to defeat the other. But in 608, it looked as if that was all about to change. A Roman general had revolted against his emperor, leading to a civil war within the Byzantine Empire. Taking advantage of the Roman civil war, the Persians launched an offensive, completely taking Syria and Jordan and Palestine from the Romans, and by 619 they had also conquered Egypt and carved a path deep into Anatolia, arriving at the gates of Constantinople. And with these massive conquests by the Persians and the Byzantines in total chaos, it seemed as if the war was about to end with a complete Persian victory. And then, while all this was happening, Allah revealed in the Quran the following passages. The Romans have been defeated in a nearby land, yet following their defeat, they will triumph within only a few years. The matter rests with Allah before and after, and on that day the believers will rejoice. And that's when the Romans, at the brink of defeat, launched a desperate counterattack. In a miraculous turn of events, they managed to crush the Persian army near the plains of Cappadocia, forcing the Persians into a full retreat. The Persians had been defeated, the battle had been won, and the Romans continued to march forward deep into Persian territory, where they managed to capture the Persian emperor's residence at Dastagard, just outside the capital city of Ctesiphon. Ctesiphon was in chaos. A plague was now spreading throughout the western provinces of the Persian Empire, killing half of the people in modern-day Iraq and devastating the population of Ctesiphon. The Persian emperor was then imprisoned by his own son in a coup d'etat, who then went on a rampage, killing all of his brothers and many noblemen in the government. Finally, the Persian emperor himself was killed, the last of the great Persian kings, and the Persian empire was thrown into civil war between the royal families. The son of the emperor, who was now in power, sued for peace with the Romans, giving back all of the Roman territories and agreeing to pay war reparations, putting an end to the wars that had devastated the two empires since before Jesus, peace be upon him, had been born. The Persian Empire was in complete and total chaos now, and it would never be the same. A few years later, in 632, the Prophet, peace be upon him, finally passed away in the 11th year, Hijri. And with the Arabian Peninsula now mostly united under the banner of Islam, the Muslims began their expansion to the north. In 633, Abu Bakr sent Khalid ibn Walid to lead an army to attack the Persians in Mesopotamia, where he then won a series of small battles and began to chip away at their borders. Soon after, when Umar ibn al-Khattab was chosen to be the second caliph in 634, he continued in Abu Bakr's steps, reinforcing the Muslims in Mesopotamia, as Khalid had been sent to fight the Romans in Syria. Under the command of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the Muslims met the Persians in 636 at the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, in what would prove to be the decisive battle between the two sides over the lands of Mesopotamia. Under the leadership of Rustam, one of the elite princes of Persia, the Sassanid Empire sent some 60,000 soldiers, along with the fearsome presence of 33 war elephants in their ranks. Leading the charge with his elephants, the Persians managed to wreak havoc as these beasts trampled the Muslim soldiers and scared off their horses. Chaos and panic ensued, and it was clear that the Muslims would have to adapt and find a way to deal with these elephants or risk defeat. Under Sa'd's orders, the Muslims attacked the elephants head-on, blinding them and cutting off their trunks. In a fit of panic, the elephants retreated back to the Persian lines, attacking their own side before rushing off the battlefield. The elephants were out of the picture, and now the Muslims decided to strike at the heart of the Persians. A cavalry unit was then sent on horseback to rush through the enemy lines and attack Rustam's camp. There they found him and killed him, and when the Persians found out that their leader had been slain, they were demoralized. And with one final charge by the Muslim army, the Persians were sent fleeing in defeat. Now Mesopotamia was under the complete control of the Muslims. For the next few years, Umar refused to send further armies into Persia, preferring to maintain control over Mesopotamia, not knowing just how weak the Persians had become. There, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas searched the region for a place to build a permanent military base, and with the advice from the locals, he decided on building the city of Kufa. Then, not satisfied with the turn of events and feeling humiliated by the defeat at Al-Qadisiyah, the Persian emperor recruited up to 100,000 soldiers from all corners of the empire and launched a new offensive against the Muslims. This would be the final major battle between the Muslims and the Persians, one that would decide the fate of what remained of the Sassanid Empire. And by the way, if you want to support the channel and help me pay my editors, you can sign up for my Patreon, link in the YouTube video description or on my TikTok profile. Anyway, and so in 642, the two sides met at the Battle of Nahavand, where the Persians had fortified themselves, managing to take the high ground and wait for the Muslims to arrive. Initially, the Muslims fought a battle of attrition, slowly grinding each side down with mass casualties on both sides. Soon, this led to a standoff where the Persian cavalry was able to hit the Muslims with hit-and-run tactics, frustrating their lines. Far from their home base and running out of supplies, the Muslims were now in a desperate situation, and as time went on, Persian reinforcements continued to arrive. Something had to change. And that's when Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid spoke up. He was a man who had fought many battles against the Muslims, both in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and during the rule of Abu Bakr. But now he had converted to Islam, and he wanted to prove his loyalty to the Muslims. So he suggested that the Muslims show weakness in front of the Persians, and then feign retreat. And so when the Persians chased after them, eager to finish the battle, the Muslims would spring their trap and counterattack, as the Persians would now be in a vulnerable position. To make things more convincing, the Muslims began to circulate rumors that back in Medina, Umar had died, making the Persians believe that the Muslims were now demoralized. The Muslims then began deconstructing their camps, packing their bags, and much of the army feigned a retreat west back towards Arabia. Soon the Persians fell for the bait, and they left their fortifications, coming down from the hills and attacking the retreating Muslims. Then, waiting for the right moment, the Muslims sprung their trap, attacking from behind with troops that had hidden themselves in the mountains. During this fighting, Tulayha was struck and killed in battle, but it was his brilliant leadership that saved the Muslims that day and gave victory to the army. The Persians had been completely defeated, bringing an end to the Sasanian Empire. Over the next 10 years, the Muslims managed to swallow the rest of the Persian Empire with ease, conquering as far as Azerbaijan in the north and reaching the edges of India in the east. But even though Persia was now ruled by the Muslims, the people of Persia wouldn't fully embrace Islam until nearly 400 years later. But when they did, Persian scholars and thinkers and writers would bring immense richness to the Islamic academia, all culminating in what is often called the Golden Age of Islam, leaving behind an amazing legacy that lasts till this day. Like and follow for more Muslim Facts.